How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator Craig Thomas.
In seasons 1 and 2, we were joined by Neil Patrick Harris, Kobe Smulders, Brian Cranston, Ashley Williams, Wayne Brady, Jenna Fisher and Angela Kinsey, Joe Manganiello, and my brilliant co-creator Carter Bays. And now we are diving into season 3.
So whether it's your 50th rewatch or your first time through, follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts. It's
good to be back home. Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Hot as hell out there. Kevin Wheeler is back.
Yay.
From the Great North.
You say that now. Wait till I get back to being stupid.
Yeah, you're there.
Yeah.
You're good.
Doesn't take long.
So you were in Michigan for like a family get-together?
Yeah, it's a thing they do every year, but I don't get a chance to go every year. I usually get there maybe every 5 years or so, maybe that, maybe. Mm-hmm. But then since my sister had her second kid and I hadn't met the little guy yet because he's only 2 months old, it was a good excuse to go up and spend some time with the baby and his older sister and my my sister and brother-in-law, my brother, like, all our families. It was great. Yeah, it was cool. Very chill. Very
chill. I noted
chill.
That there is a beautiful picture of you holding the baby.
Yeah.
And you look a lot alike.
Yeah.
But we both look like every baby. Yeah. Every baby looks like one of us.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Pretty much.
For me, it's the chunky.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, I forget who, somebody, you guys did it, but I know some other friends did the same thing. One of my buddies from Chicago is texting, he's like, he said something like, you guys have the same build. I'm like, I know. Yeah, that's a jacked baby.
Yes. It's all swole. So I had my second game last night with the Bud Light team.
Nice.
And the second rain out.
Yeah.
In 2 games. I think I'm bad luck.
No, because there's no such thing. But there isn't much worse than that, though. I mean, throughout my life, whenever it's, even now coaching, but playing old man ball, playing as a kid, rainouts are the worst. Because you spend your whole day getting ready for it, right? Mentally ready, eating to make sure you're ready, like all that stuff. And then it's just like, well, that's not happening.
Yeah, at least I got to take some infield, take some grounders, make some throws. That was fun. Got to put on the uniform, which I took a selfie, which I never.
It's pretty good looking, isn't it?
Ever take selfies at all.
It's a nice uni.
It's a really nice uni.
Kind of. It looks like the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Dodgers colors.
Like it a lot.
Yeah.
I was glad that I thought that the. I knew the pants were white because I had bought them, but I thought that the jersey was white, and I prefer a solid color jersey.
There you go. So, you got the blues.
Yeah. Nice. Everyone was super cool. Yep. All the stranger kids were nice to me.
They're a good group, man.
Yeah. A lot of them listen, which was cool. It's so weird. I interviewed Art Holliday today, and we'll play that tomorrow at 4 p.m. for you. But Art was talking about how last night they had this big thing at the History Museum for him, hundreds of people, and how when you're a broadcaster, whether it's radio or television, you're pretty much performing for technology, or a small group of people like we have here. And like I'm looking at the stream and I can see that Jake and Gar and Sarah here, but it typically you don't make connections with people, right? You meet someone at Schnucks or something like that. And yesterday, one of the guys on the team was like, oh, I heard you today. You said that you were burnt out and needed a vacation. And I was like, you heard that? How did you hear that?
Stalking me.
Surprises me.
Yeah. You know how I felt.
Like, wait, I said that into a microphone.
Get out of my head. And then we stayed afterwards, had a couple of beverages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the tradition.
It was nice.
Were there any snacks?
Yes, there were. I didn't partake, but there were lots of peanuts and pretzels being passed around.
Oh, look at that.
So I'm going to have to start bringing a little cooler of beer.
You got to contribute.
Contribute, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. It's a good time.
What if you bring a beer that's not Bud Light and everybody gets really mad and they go, what is
everything
this?
Everything was AB, but we it wasn't all wasn't all Bud Light.
This is the Bud Light team.
Everything was AB, though.
Everything this team has, we owe them.
Yeah, including our name.
We are nothing without them.
Uniforms.
You and your Miller Lite just get the hell out of here.
If you haven't already, you should go to the Dave Glover Show Facebook page and check out the selfie Dave took because it is a cool uniform.
Like, it is.
Just even if you weren't playing on that team, that would be a cool uniform to have.
Yeah. Yeah. And just note that when I took it, The other, everyone was getting warmed up. I didn't want to be the guy that was taking a selfie, so I didn't even smile. I just sort of like snuck it in real quick.
Like you were just checking your phone?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Like I was holding it as far away from my face as I could so I could read it.
I got some texts. Yeah, that's it.
Then I had a terrible night sleeping because I'm sure a lot of you are like this, but my routine is my routine. And, you know, I didn't get home until like 10:30 and it had, you know, a beer too. And, yeah, so I slept like an hour. I feel shockingly okay though, which means later on, I'm just going to crash.
Yeah. When you get going, you kind of build up momentum.
Yeah.
You just got to keep on rolling. Well, then when you hit the couch, you're going to be like,
even when I got up. So last night I didn't take any nighttime sleepy time medicines because I was, you know, at the ballpark. And so I think that's one of the reasons I'm probably dependent on it, the stuff that I take. And so I didn't sleep very well. And I just kept, you know how it is. You just keep thinking like, it's 2 o'clock, it's 3 o'clock, it's 4 o'clock. If I get to sleep right now, I can get 3 hours. And I know I slept a little bit, but maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, which is not enough for any human.
No.
But I feel okay.
Good deal.
I'm going to have me a beer.
Yeah, that was just fun. It just like doing new things is fun, meeting new people. And I get to do a lot of cool stuff on the show, but I just don't meet that many new people or hang out with that many new people. And that was fun. Really
cool.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
Glad you had a good time.
I troubled turning the double play, though.
It's not an easy thing to do.
Well, Stu, the manager, you know well, made a really good point because I'm the youngest of them. And they were all going through all of their multiple surgeries that they've had. And, you know, I haven't played for 30 years, so I haven't, my knees are still good. My hip's good.
Fresh meat.
Yeah. Well, Stu said, he's like, just because you're in good shape doesn't mean you're in good baseball shape.
No, that's true. You're going to feel
so
pains.
True.
Yeah. You're rotating and doing things that you don't normally do. Yep. You'll find like, you'll be like, I didn't know I had a muscle there.
Yeah. Feels good though. Feels good to be a little bit sore.
Yeah.
Is it kind of warm in the studio today?
Yes, very.
Is it?
Okay. Yes, I'm hot.
Yeah. I thought so.
I'm going to start sweating.
It's kind of nice in here, but it was hot in
there. Good thing we can regulate the temperature of the on-air studio.
Yeah, that's you know? A must, right?
Yeah.
Who would build a studio with no way to control the temperature?
Oh, we can't. We got a little thing on the wall there, but it doesn't do anything.
Mm-hmm. Just I don't even think it's hooked up.
Jack squat. Thanks, building.
How are your evenings?
Good. Pretty much just chilled. Had some dinner, watched some Jeopardy, you know, relaxing.
Kind of started, you turn 60 and everything changes. And I started watching Wheel of Fortune again. I did it the first time, ironically, and then solved a puzzle that was hard to do. And it fed my ego. So now I'm like, oh, it's 6:30. Time for the wheel.
Wheel is a lot of fun to watch.
They've changed it. Like there are all these different kinds of puzzles and such.
Mm-hmm. No, I love guessing wheel puzzles. That and Jeopardy are like
my
two favorite
game
shows.
I don't hate Ryan Seacrest as much as I thought I would. He's okay.
He's just, you know,
kind of born to do that job.
Yeah. I mean, the ultimately, I think the host of Wheel of Fortune doesn't matter all that much, right? Because you're not watching for the players.
Just gotta stay out of the way.
You're not watching for the stakes. You're watching to see if you can figure out the puzzles.
Yeah, Ken Jennings does a good job on Jeopardy of just staying out of the way.
Yeah.
Which of those is the dream job? Is it Jeopardy, Wheel? Is it Price is Right?
Jeopardy, I think.
Like, which one of those is you're like, that's the ticket. If I could get one game show, that's the one.
If I could pick it, I would probably pick Wheel.
Really?
Yeah. I think Price is Right. I'm not saying I could do it like I could go do Drew Carey's job. I could do what they do, but the Wheel seems less demanding.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeopardy seems extremely demanding.
Do you think so?
Yes.
I think it seems so not demanding that it's boring.
No.
Like, you have all the answers.
You do, but I feel like you have to like anticipate what these people are going to do. You have to read the question perfectly. Like, when do you ever hear Ken Jennings stumbling over a clue? It does not happen.
And if it does happen, on the very rare occasions that one of the hosts or guest host does, it goes like mega super viral. Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta,
I don't need that.
You got to practice that tone of disappointment, too. Like, Alex Trebek had that down. You're like, oh,
darn.
No,
yeah.
You moron. That
no, not that's
it.
Not correct.
It's the Euphrates. The Euphrates.
Yeah, Ken does that, too. Like, somebody will buzz in with a particularly dumb answer, and he's like, no. And then it goes on to the next person.
I want to see somebody do Bro Jeopardy. where the guy just rips the guys with people, whoever gets it wrong. You just sit there and roast them. Roast Jeopardy.
Speaking of bros, man, did I dislike the Pat McAfee thing.
For the home run derby?
Yes. I think they're trying. Is it the brosation of the MLB?
So I actually heard Rob Manfred do an interview on MLB Network Radio about just about the weekend, and the McAfee thing came up, and he was super excited. But now it's an ESPN choice because it's ESPN's event. But Manfred was talking about how much he loved it because that they want that audience. His audience is not really their hardcore audience, and they feel like there are some people they could pull in. But Pat McAfee doesn't like baseball.
And I don't like Pat McAfee.
He doesn't like baseball. He has openly talked about how boring it is and how he doesn't like this about it. And he grew up in Pittsburgh, so he doesn't really have any fun with it because they were always bad. And he never talks baseball on any of his programming. Never, never, ever. You know, it's like 3% of what he talks about. He'll talk about LeBron James 100 times before he talks about a single important baseball story. And obviously, he's mostly going to talk football because he was an NFL player. I don't get it. I get what Rob Manfred's saying. Like, okay, that's an audience we want to tap into. Find someone in that sphere that likes baseball.
I'm not going to stop watching baseball because McAfee.
No.
But I would not watch another MLB production again. Sort of, you know, like a special production. If it's going to be like that, no thank you. I'll watch the games, but I don't need that.
I'm with you. I don't even hate Pat McAfee. He just is what he is, and he's not a baseball guy. Like, if you're going to try, like, just as an example, there are plenty of ways to cross over, do fun things. Like, they have Shane Gillis doing their best of their baseball awards thing. He's emceeing. It's great. He's hot. He's a funny guy. You know, he's at the top of his game. You know, he's one of those guys out there that's been running hot for a while now. Okay, cool. Hopefully he likes baseball, but it's something that can reach a different audience, right? When they had, you know, Ice Cube come out during the World Series. That's fun. That's going to bring people in. It's going to get people's attention. Great. There are all kinds of cool, creative ideas. Picking someone to be a hype man who's going to do it wrestling style because he's a wrestling guy too, a wrestling announcer, who's going to do a baseball thing wrestling style, that doesn't fit.
Thank you.
And the people that are in that sphere are not just going to be like, oh, Pat McAfee's doing fun announcements before the home run derby. I'm going to watch baseball now. Like, that's just not going to happen. It just isn't.
Who would you rather see do that? Pat McAfee or Dave Portnoy?
Neither. John Boy. I'd rather see John Boy do it.
John Boy would be
I'd rather see a guy that's a baseball fan do it. John Hamm could do it. There are a lot of great baseball fans out there that are famous, that are fun, that are entertaining, that love, you know, that can get a crowd fired up, and you're just going to pick a guy that doesn't even like baseball. And again, Major League Baseball didn't hire him. He's an ESPN guy. So ESPN always forces their big paid guys into everything. They force Stephen A. Smith into everything, just as an example. So I don't think it works. I don't think you convince people that don't typically consume your product to come be regular consumers of your product by having a one-off with a guy that will now go on his show and not talk baseball for 3 months.
Yeah, I agree.
Except he'll go talk about what he did.
Yeah.
He'll go talk about how much fun he had. He won't talk about what happened in the All-Star game. He won't talk about the pennant races, the trade deadline coming up. His people will not hear him talk baseball.
You know what I hate about the bro thing? It's one thing to meet a 20-year-old bro. Okay. When you meet a 47-year-old bro, which most of them seem to be, it's just like, turn your cap the other way around. Shut up. Quit talking like that.
I don't mind that as much because I don't have as much of the bro thing, but I got, you know, like, I still act like an idiot young person in a lot of ways.
It's the flavor of idiot.
Yeah, I get it. I totally get what you mean. It's not my thing. I don't like the Portnoy guy. I don't like Portnoy. I don't hate McAfee. If he's talking football and he's doing his thing, it's actually kind of fine because he's got some good experience. He's got good stories. He's got a good sense of humor. He's pretty funny when he's doing his thing. But when he's not doing his thing, it's just like, okay, you're putting on an act.
Yeah.
You're just being Pat McAfee as opposed to being genuine.
Yeah. Won't you come out to play? Welcome back, DJ WGN.
I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
SNKMOX. Coming up at 3 p.m., my buddy Jimmy Griffin is going to be here promoting a whole bunch of projects, probably going to sing a Incurable song for us. Nate Gatter's going to be here at 4. I have to apologize to Nate. I think I've been rude to him because I thought he was the guy who does the soccer stuff.
You mean the play-by-play? I got you.
Speaking of Pat McAfee. So, I'll be nice to Nate now.
Nate's a good dude.
He did a really good job.
Yeah.
Well, you were gone and Paulie was gone. Were you all together? You and Ackerman and Paulie?
No, but that would have been a fun story, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
If we all took off during the All-Star break and went on like a guy's carnival cruise.
It was a weird week.
Yeah.
Weird week. One more thing about baseball real quick. So the All-Star game, first of all, I didn't know that we had a home run shootout.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a part of it.
Yeah.
Just for that game, right?
Just for the All-Star game.
Just for the All-Star game.
Because otherwise they're just going to end the game in a tie.
I mean.
Because they're not going to use more pitchers. It was exciting. Look, it's fine. It's a showcase, right?
Yeah.
That's what the event is. And anybody that complains about a showcase, essentially exhibition, which is what it is.
Yeah.
Anybody that cares about how that ends is you're giving it too much importance.
So Mizrowski made the team, even though he only had 5 major league starts under his belt.
Yes.
Wheeler from the Phillies said it was a joke. Another guy who is a pitcher who was made the All-Star team but didn't go said that the MLB is becoming the Savannah Bananas. And the person who I was listening to, I can't remember who it was. I don't think it was anyone local, said, well, we need some Savannah Banana because the Savannah Bananas are doing more for baseball than baseball. They're bringing in more young baseball fans than Major League Baseball is. Thoughts?
Oh, my God. A million. One, bringing in a legitimately talented player is not the Savannah Bananas. Now, if you went out there and made him dance and he wore a banana costume, then you'd be talking about the Savannah Bananas. He's just a legitimate talent. Now, he shouldn't be there. Like, if we're talking about an All-Star game as an honor, because look, these players, so many of them have clauses in their contracts that get them bonuses for being in the All-Star game. So there are guys out there that probably cost $50,000 because you chose the guy who's made 5 appearances over them. That's not cool. It is something to be earned. It's not something to be mad about, though, unless you're that guy.
Yeah.
If you're that guy, you should be mad. For the rest of us, it's just adding to the talent showcase, which is why they picked him. Because he's the hot new thing. He's the guy, like, it's like Paul Skeens being there last year, even though he had a limited experience. He didn't get called up until mid-May, late May last year, and he made the All-Star team. It's about showcasing what people are talking about.
Yeah.
That's what MLB did. I can understand and agree with the argument that he didn't earn it. Because getting to be an All-Star is a thing that should be earned if you're in that group of players. I don't get why fans care. I do get why other players would care. Because, again, they're looking at teammates. Like, this guy here, he's made 18 starts. He's got great numbers. And this costs him $100,000 because he didn't get picked to go to
Sonny
the team.
Gray.
Right. So I can totally get that. That's a fair position from the players. As a fan, it's whatever. I mean, he's part of a show. And he'll go out there and he'll light up the radar gun for, one inning and people will be talking about it. And from that end, Major League Baseball is trying to do that. But it's not the Savannah Bananas thing. That's not what that is. And the Savannah Bananas are not creating baseball fans. They are taking people who like baseball and giving them an experience and making money off of it. They're not doing anything more for baseball than the Harlem Globetrotters have done for basketball. And by the way, Harlem Globetrotters are great. They've done this for how many years? What's going on with the Savannah Bananas has existed with the Harlem Globetrotters in basketball for, what is it, at least 60, 70 years?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what grew the NBA was Bird and Magic and the emergence of star players and guys like Michael Jordan. That's what caused the NBA to explode when it did. It wasn't the Harlem Globetrotters, even though they're awesome. And I have no issues with the Bananas either. They're fun. And if that makes people like baseball or want to go to their games, that's wonderful. But it's not growing the sport.
Oh, boy, I missed Wheeler.
Yeah, see?
He has so much to say.
See?
Yeah.
I have more, but I know we got to go to a break.
I barely said anything so far. This is fantastic.
I got more, but
I turned my mic off. I'm just chilling over here.
Yeah, I was playing a game on my phone while he was talking. Welcome back, guys. DJ WGS on KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. Let's talk about this stuff. We don't talk politics that much. Hopefully you guys can tell that. Not only do we not want to piss 50% of our audience off, but our boss is trying to move KMOX away from, you know, you got 97.1 down the hall, you have NPR, you have Fox News, you have CNN, you have lots of places you can get that. But when it's the biggest story, we'll cover it. And it's fascinating to me what's going on right now with Donald Trump and MAGA and Epstein. And I have to say, I think Trump is making a terrible mistake. And tell me I'm wrong. Prove I'm wrong. I think it can only be because he's afraid of what might be in the Epstein files. Because, you know, just release it all. If you're not in there, if you're not worried about it, release everything. Who friggin' cares? We already know that you were friends. We know that you were neighbors. We have video of you hanging out. No one has... I don't know that anyone's made a big deal of it. Like, I've never made a big deal out of it.
No.
I don't think that Donald Trump's a pedophile. I don't think that he was in some ring of child abusing people with Epstein. But I recognize a mistake when I see it. And calling the people who were supporting you and who may still support you weaklings and foolish, and I don't want their support anymore, that just seems like you're shooting yourself in the foot. His poll numbers are already plummeting with MAGA and with younger MAGA people. So just release it all. And they're doing this cute little thing where they're saying, release all the credible evidence. Well, and then Mike Johnson came out and said, yes, release it all. And then he had to walk it back and said, release all the credible evidence. Well, you effers, that's just a way so that you can hold back whatever you want to hold back and just say that, well, that wasn't credible. It just seems to me like how ironic would it be? And look, it's not going to take him down. This is his last term as president. He's not going to be president again. So he has nothing to lose there. And maybe that's why he's saying all this stuff. But it just seems to me to be very strange, a strange hill to die on, to start calling your people weaklings and foolish. And I don't want your support anymore. Thoughts?
I mean, if you and your supporters hadn't spent the entire election cycle cozying up to the QAnon people, you wouldn't have this problem, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at a tweet right here from Donald Trump Jr. that says, show us all the Epstein client list now. Why would anyone protect those scumbags? Ask yourselves this question daily, and the answer becomes very apparent. That's July of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, all along in the lead up to the 2024 election, you cozied up with Laura Loomer, who's in that kind of group. He himself, the now president of the United States, was retweeting or truthing, whatever you want to call it, but reposting all kinds of QAnon stuff. Well, what did you think QAnon's about? It's about all that kind of stuff. That's what they're all about. So you're giving them these signals that I'm one of you, that I see it. I'm going to do these things. And the belief in the QAnon world was, Trump's going to be the guy that exposes it all, right? That's the whole Q thing, or at least in parts of the Q thing, because it's got a million branches now. If you hadn't cozied up with them to get people to vote for you, this would be a lot less of an issue.
Well, and Bongino and Kash Patel were two of the leaders on this.
Yes, they were.
And now they find themselves in the ironic position of either getting there and finding out there really is nothing to it, nothing to see here.
Nothing beyond what we know already.
Or there is something,
right,
but they have to cover it up.
Yeah.
Either way, not great.
No. And look, the whole Epstein thing has been going on for a long time. This is not a thing created by this administration, right? I mean, this has been going on since the 90s. They tried to prosecute him down in Florida, and it kind of got shoved under the rug, and he got some kind of easy deal. Because he knows powerful people, and that's what happens with people who are connected. When you're connected, you get off with things, and you don't face the consequences because they will protect you because you've done them favors, or you have something on them, whatever. But you can't spend years courting the people that believe in that story, right? They believe that Epstein was, you know, leading the powerful people to all of to Epstein's island. What do they call the island? I don't know. I forget what they call
it. Little St. James.
But like whatever. The you know, the flights to the island, all those flight logs, all that. You spend all that time cozying up to people that live in that world and believe in that stuff. Well, they're going to expect you to deliver on what they think you're about, whether you expressly say it or not.
And, I mean, we'll never know, by the very definition of it, we'll never really know whether everything was released with Epstein, with JFK, with MLK. You don't know what you don't know.
Right.
But we know there's still stuff on someone's desk that hasn't been released.
Right.
So just release it. Like Brian says here online, release them, let the chips fall. Just release it.
That's my belief on almost anything related to something that's already settled, right?
It's almost
boring. He was already convicted. The man is dead. So there's nothing about his rights that would be trampled on, right? He doesn't have any more because he's not with us anymore. So if you just put it out there and there's nothing, well, then everybody will see that there's nothing. I'm that way about every case, though. I was that way. I mean, you name it. I'm that way about JFK, whatever. Any of those files, put them all out. If at this point somebody is harmed by that, well, then they shouldn't have been involved with it to begin with.
Yeah. Rach, tell me about the scientists who you agree with or you disagree with, rather.
Okay, so scientists are saying that if you're chronically late, it could be because you suffer from a condition called time blindness, which basically means it's an inability to perceive time. It's a condition that disrupts a person's ability to estimate how long it will take to complete tasks. So this gets in the way of your daily routine. This gets in the way of your long-term productivity. The scientists and the experts are saying this is a real thing. I tend to think it's just thoughtlessness and irresponsibility. Like, to be like, I was late because I have time blindness. So you can't read the, you don't know how to tell time? Is that what you're telling me? And maybe it's just because I work in radio and everything is timed down to the second. Yeah. That it just feels crazy to me that someone would be like, I wasn't aware of the time. But if you're always 30 minutes late when you're out to meet your friends, like,
we all know people like
that. Then you are a jerk. There's no there's no excuse. Wow. You just don't value other people's time. Don't call it time blindness. That's very, very silly. You just don't care that other people are waiting on you.
It's kind of how I feel when people say that they have like face blindness or whatever. I'm like, no, I'm like, you just don't care to remember their face, which is fine. I mean, but just don't blame it on a condition. You don't have a condition. You just,
I mean,
you're just careless.
I believe the scientists. I believe that this is a real thing, but there are a lot of real things that people have that you have to manage. It's not just a fallback excuse. So if you know you have time blindness, you need to account for that in your day-to-day life. So if you know, like, oh, man, I'm always late, well, then plan an hour early. And then if you're late, well, now you're still on time. You're still early, right? And I get it's part of the, but like there are so many things. If you have ADHD, which this is supposedly related to, like the scientists say this is kind of a similar thing, that's great. But you take steps to help mediate the problems that it causes. You don't just say, well, I got it, deal with it, right?
Yeah. We all have something we have to deal with.
I think that's exactly right. Regardless of what, some people are, I'm forgetful. I don't just get to tell the world, oh, I'm forgetful. I have to write myself notes.
I have a disease.
I have to, yeah, right. I don't get to hide behind the fact that I've been forgetful since I was a little kid. I gotta set things up in my calendar so I don't forget. It's up to me to solve that problem. It's not up to the people around me to live with it.
I agree. I'm not sure I go as far as Rach goes because I can imagine something like that.
Yeah.
I don't have it, but I can imagine, and I've just known so many people who were thoughtful, good people who just couldn't seem to manage the clock. But what Wheeler says, I think, is dispositive. If that is true, then you set a bunch of alarms.
Like, take steps.
Do whatever you need to do.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not being serious when I say I don't believe the scientists. I'm being sarcastic when I say that.
Right.
I just think a lot of people who are just lazy and inconsiderate, like Dave Heidens brings up on the stream, they're just going to see a study like this and be like, ah, yes, that's what it is. Time blindness. It's like, no, you don't care about other people's time. That is my biggest pet peeve in life when someone wastes my time.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, they're just like super late after an agreed upon time or something. When you show me you don't value my time at all, nothing makes me angrier. Like, that is the quickest way to get on my bad side.
All of these things that were like in this range of diagnoses, they're all manageable. Human beings manage all kinds of things that where their brains are different than other people. And it's up to you to find the solution to that. It's not up to everyone else to just accept it. You can't show up to work late, I wouldn't think, every day, right?
No.
I mean, some jobs, it doesn't matter, right? Some jobs, if you're working from home, for example, it probably doesn't matter. And maybe you find yourself a career where it doesn't matter. But that it does still matter to your friends and family. Because all of us have friends that are like that. We have a couple. We tell them that we're going to be somewhere an hour before we're going to be there. Because they'll be there on time if we tell them that. Because they'll show up an hour late.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
Welcome back, guys. DGS and KMOX. Happy Wednesday. Andrew, you saw something dumb today?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of patience for people acting very, like, stupid in public. Especially in ways that
you mean, like,
could,
going to a Casey's and pretending to be drunk?
That kind no, of I'm talking about in ways that can endanger other people. So, what I saw today, I was driving down Route 3, and there's, like, a median in between the lanes that are going this-a-way and the lanes that are going that-a-way. And there were two guys that were standing on that very, very thin little, you know, risen strip of concrete that is, you know, 3-4 feet off the ground. And they were hopping on 1 foot down it, like trying to keep their balance and stuff as like semis and, you know, me and many other cars are whizzing past them. And I got so, so unbelievably angry at it because it's like, look, if you want to die, I don't care. That's fine. That's your decision. But don't irrevocably alter the course of my life because of it. Like they were, you know, all wobbling back and forth trying to keep their balance and stuff. And there are literally like 18-wheelers like whizzing by them left and right. And we see so much of that. Now, they didn't even seem to be like filming it. It didn't seem like it was like, we're going to do this crazy stunt for social. I don't know, late teens, early 20s. It made me so mad.
Yeah.
And nobody else seemed to be very happy about it either. Nobody was, you know, driving past them going like, hey, look at these guys.
We love what you're doing. This
look
is so
much,
creative.
Look how much fun they're having. It was a bunch of people like swerving into the other lane, almost getting in accidents themselves because they know if this guy loses his balance and falls in front of my car and I kill him.
Yeah, my worst one for that, being a motorcycle rider, are idiot motorcycle riders. Mm. They're typically young. I've never seen someone over 40 do this. But when they pop wheelies and go down Highway 40, I don't care about you because you're an idiot and you are putting yourself at risk. But you're also putting me at risk because you may freak somebody out and they may pull in front of me and end my life or hurt my child or something like that.
Yep.
How dare you? Just need an ass kicking. That's what you need. You don't need to go to jail. You need someone to beat you up. A lot of people need to be beat up.
Mm-hmm.
Just one good pop to the nose. Wake you up a little bit. Smell that coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Andrew should have pulled over.
Just pop him in the nose.
I mean, I was thinking, I hope somebody says something to them. Like, I hope somebody pulls over and goes like, what the hell is wrong with you? Why are you doing this?
Well, when I yell at people, you guys think I'm a psycho.
No, we just think you're a psycho.
No, because what you're yelling at is like a guy that's not going fast enough or whatever. That's psycho behavior.
No, it's somebody blocking a lane or not signaling or not telling you what they're doing.
I'm talking about somebody who's going to get themselves killed and turn someone else into a murderer on their drive to work.
I mean, if you don't signal what you're doing, you can get people hurt.
I really wish there was a way to talk to other drivers because it's very rare that I actually want to yell at anyone. But quite frequently, I do wish I could just say, like, hey, you got to learn how to drive because this is not working out. Like, what you're doing here, you're relying on the kindness of everyone else to kind of make up for your bad drive. Like, you're relying on me paying way more attention than I should be to, like, stay out of whatever it is you're doing.
I have the worst reaction. Worst as in the least effective. We were just talking about this with the family the other night, and, like, Phoebe or Nick, I forget which one, like, they'll clap. Like, oh, nicely done, idiot, like that. And I just shake my head. Like, I'm their father, and I'm so deeply disappointed in
them. That's a correct reaction.
Yeah, but, like, they don't even see it.
No, but it doesn't matter. It's correct. And if they happen to look back and see it, then they get the message. I don't... What's the answer to that stuff?
Cops.
Because...
Or them getting hurt.
Well, but I mean, there are other answers, but nobody wants to do it.
Like what?
If we all had to go back and do driver's training classes every 10 years and relearn. Because the thing that drives me crazy is people don't understand the rules. They don't understand. I mean, they do, but they don't. They're not. They've not been reinforced. I legitimately don't think
these gentlemen weren't going like, and we're following the rules. Like, they knew that they were doing was stupid. It's why they were doing it. The problem is that they're not considering that, like, hey, if you fall off, like, I know you think you're invincible because you're 19, but you could legitimately die, like, right here on this highway. And consider for a second if there's, like, a car with, like, you know, a mom taking her three kids to school.
What we're not taking into consideration is, what if they have rule blindness?
Well, that's true. They might not know what's going on.
In that case, it's fine.
Their brain just doesn't perceive rules.
Yeah. I should have considered that they have rule blindness. You're right.
They should be on disability.
And that's on me.
We'll say, like, spending as much time as I did in the last 5 days on the road, like 8-hour drive two ways.
Ugh.
You see, I can't get over how many people just don't understand things. Like, even truckers who drive professionally don't understand. I had a thing on the sheet. I saw that this is something that happened yesterday, and I think we should be taking proactive steps on this, like at the state level, like MoDOT, IDOT, all of the dots. We need to start putting signs when there are lane closures that say, please use all available lanes until the merge point. Because everybody knows that doing it that way is faster. But you got trucks that are going to block people, and you got other cars that are swerving out to keep someone from staying in a lane that is open. The lane is open. It means you should use it.
I know why people don't.
I know why they don't, too. It's because they think that you're cheating.
Yes.
But you're not. And that's why I'm saying, put up the signs that say, do this. We can solve all of these road rage issues, the potential for accidents, when the sign says, lanes merge or right lane close, put right after that, stay in all available lanes until the merge point. And MoDOT has it on their website that that's the right way to do it. But people don't think it, and they get pissed off because they get in line 5 miles earlier than they should. But you shouldn't do that. You should use all available lanes until the lane closes and you merge right there. It's called the zipper merge, and it's the fastest way. So instead of slowing it down and then having a bunch of ragers, put up signs that say, do this, so everybody knows.
This is what he'll be talking about in the nursing home.
Oh, my God. I want to print it on my forehead.
They're like, we know, Mr. Wheeler. We agree with you.
Like, so
time for nanners.
If it's on the website for MoDOT, why do they not post it on the signs to let you know?
Yeah, they should.
I mean, make one extra sign for every other sign.
Here's the real reason to do it. One, to educate people, because I didn't know that about the zipper thing until you mentioned it a couple of years ago. But I also, now that I know, don't do it because I don't want the judgment of all the other people who don't know
totally
it.
Totally get it.
So put a sign up there.
Put the signs up.
So you can go.
So the people that don't know get instructed.
Yeah.
And the people that do know are now not being treated like they're criminals.
Yes.
And so that we don't have truckers and dudes in big pickups and guys in sports cars swerving out to cut people off for no reason.
I think he got cut off on his trip.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.